fighting for America.
It's time to turn this country around.
We took the power away from the Washington-based special interest, and we put it in the hands of the Wisconsin taxpayers.
The people of Texas have spoken, and I am deeply honored to be your next governor.
Fighting for Idaho.
First, I'm not going to give a long speech. And second, the campaign is over.
Fighting for you.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America.
Let's stay that way. Thank you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. So, as some people are calling it, Red Tuesday, the Republicans winning big across the country and winning big in the state of Idaho. You know, it's funny, we're taking a look at some of the coverage here, and if you were watching or viewing last night, we've got some extra special stuff that you're not going to get anywhere else. That's on our website, 580KIDO.com. 600-word piece I'm fairly proud of. We kind of wrote it off the top of our head, but in real time, you know, it's entitled Otter Wins, Order Has Been Restored to the Force. And when you take of the millions of dollars that was spent in this race, did we get the return on investment? And quite frankly, the Democratic Party in the state, like the Democratic Party nationally, is going to have to take a look at itself and say, you know, is Barack Obama the right standard bearer? Here at 580 KIDO, the president last night took a beating. He was on the ballot, and you had a lot of blue states turn red. You had the state of North Carolina, kind of one of those purple states, go back to the Republicans, and it always should be. The president has not lived up to his promises. That's not Obama bashing. It is just the relevancy of the world that we're living in today. And we take a look locally at what happened last night. You have Governor Otter, the much maligned Governor Otter, who in fact said things, did things, and made things happen by winning a third consecutive term. It was big. And what did it for Governor Otter? I will tell you this, that it was a few things. I think at the end of the campaign, folks in the Conservative Party, the Republican Party, decided to come home. They decided that they wanted someone who shared their values. They wanted someone who sat back and said, you know, this guy has my back. In fact, Governor Otter in his speech did say, hey, you've got our back, I've got your back. It was very emotional last night. Governor Otter calling us the reddest of the red states, calling the Republican Party, quote, the cowboy party. And it was big. Nationally, it was huge for the Republicans. Let's take a listen at 580 KIDO.
Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell concedes some things won't change.
I don't expect the president to wake up tomorrow and view the world any differently than he did when he woke up this morning. He knows I won't either.
Still, the presumptive Senate majority leader says there doesn't need to be perpetual conflict.
But look, we do have an obligation to work together on issues where we can agree.
Democratic leader Harry Reid congratulating McConnell, saying the message from voters is to work together. In Louisville, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
Thank you, Jared. Kevin Miller here, 580 KIDO. Harry Reid, in the end, overplayed his hand. Obstructing, vilifying Republicans. Wouldn't it be nice if this would inoculate Republicans from the false vilifications that we have from the media? Now, are Republicans perfect? Of course not. But this just doesn't happen, and the Republicans were led by a lot of all-stars. One of them has to be Joni Ernst of Iowa.
There is nothing we can't achieve. We are going to do this. But to get there, it starts with new leadership.
Boy, take that, Tom Harkin. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Gene and Cuna with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, brother.
And I wanted to tell Dave Barnett, quit picking on you.
Thank
he
you.
He doesn't need to pick on you now.
Thank you, Gene. I appreciate that.
There's enough people picking on Kevin Miller, and believe me, I hate that. But
I hate it too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, guys like you and I, we tend to rub people the wrong way at some point, and we don't do it on purpose. We just do, and
right.
Well, it happens. But anyway, I wanted to kind of weigh in on this lady that ended her life. You know, I got a couple different views on that. And
We're talking Brittany Maynard from earlier this morning.
Right, and I think the Father in heaven would look at the fact that His grace and mercy covers a multitude of sin. We both know this. But does she have the right to end her own life? I don't think so, because the Father gave her that life. So actually, when Jesus died on the cross, the Jewishness comes out of me from time to time. Kevin, sorry.
You know, we're a big tent here, Gene. No worries.
Hey, there we go. Okay. But, you know, He bought and paid for her life with His blood and the stripes on His back. And for her just to say, I'm done, I know she's probably tired. I know she's probably really, really tired of fighting and the pain and the depression. So would the Father look on that like, well, her state of mind? Maybe. Would He not? Maybe. We don't know. It's not our call. But I pray she's in heaven, and I pray she's in a whole lot better frame of mind where she's at, because, man, I'd hate to think she went to the other place. I really would.
Gene, anyway, any thoughts on the election?
Yeah. Remember I talked to you and Dave Barnett here, two or three months ago when they were first starting this, and Governor Otter was he threw his hat in the ring, and AJ Blukoff threw his hat in the ring, and this other fella, and I told you I thought back then that Governor Otter might just walk away with it again, because people are in a comfort zone. They have their little bubble they live in, and they don't want things to change. They don't like change. If they see him doing one thing right and five things wrong, they still look at the right thing he's doing, and they try to dismiss the other. So I think that the people are just in a comfortable place. They're used to him, and I do believe he's trying to do the right thing, but still there's a lot that could be done, I believe, you know, with the school issue, the books and things like this. When you and I went to school, we had all kinds of books. We had to
That will be one of our major issues that we will be championing before the legislature, during the legislature, and after, is the textbooks for the kids.
Cool. Well, let me know what I can do. I'll help you out any way I can.
We know we got your back, brother.
Hey, and I got yours. You know that. So next time you have one of them little meetings at the Chick-fil-A or something, you know, make sure I know about it, because I want to come down there and be with you.
Well, we are. You know, in a couple weeks, I'm going to be living at the Walmart in Garrity, if you want to stop by.
Hey, we'll do it. I'll be there.
Thank you, Gene. So,
all right, brother. You have a great day.
You too. Talk Take care. Soon. Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye. 580-5436, 580-KIDO.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America.
Let's stay that way. Thank you.
Nobody beats the governor. Nobody beats the governor. We go to Jerry in Eagle with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Kevin. This is Jerry. The reason I'm calling, I'm from North Carolina originally. I've been out here in Idaho about 15 years.
Where in North Carolina?
You probably remember me from being over at the Chick-fil-A and Mickey Ray's.
My buddy Jerry. Where in Carolina, though, brother?
Oh, I grew up about 30 miles east of Raleigh.
Okay, yeah.
40 miles north of Fort Bragg.
All right. By Fayetteville, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not only because my father was, just a year-to-year dirt farmer, but a precinct chairman in the old days when North Carolina was 90% Democrat and 10% in the closet Republican.
Yes.
And so I know about the history of how we never had Republicans in North Carolina, and had to, you know, people got along great, and y'all believe like Republicans do today, even the Democrat Party in the 50s and 60s. But what has happened now, Kay Hagan is one of the last diehards of the James B. Hunt machine that was there for 28 years, and I had to work for state government and be bypassed.
Well, thank goodness you're in Idaho now, brother.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the reasons I came out here, to get away from it. But since I've left, the changes that were started under, back in 1972, the first governor of North Carolina was elected.
Can you believe, Jerry, the Republicans have 250 people in the House now? That's huge.
Right. They have control. See, this is the bottom line of what I was talking about is the first time in the history of North Carolina that the Republicans in the last two last two elections have gained full control of the House, the governorship, and now have both Senate positions for the first time in the history of the state. And it shows how you can do something.
And this is a state that you're right, Jerry. This is a state that voted for Barack Obama, so it can happen there. It can happen anywhere. Hey, I got to run, but thank you.
Right. Yep, that's a good example of what can be done. We just got to keep fighting for the conservative cause.
Hey, keep your powder dry, brother.
Thank you.
All right, Jerry from North Carolina, now in the Treasure Valley. What a nice young man. It is 6:16, Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO, the Republicans win big, even in the contentious, highly fought state school superintendent race. Sherry Ibarra wins. Do we all win? You know, still the controversy involving Common Core, still the controversy involving many people upset, but an instant look at this, and we'll have Stephen Yates on here at 580 KIDO. The chairman of the Republican Party will also be joined by Senator Crapo, Senator Risch, Lieutenant Governor Little, Congressman Simpson. All will be on the program today, giving their take on what happened last night and what it means. Now, congressionally, I mean, the Republicans have, 52 seats right now? It could be even bigger when we take a look at Louisiana, when we take a look at Georgia. Now, of course, Meet the Press will be interesting as well. Phone numbers here, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Now, do you agree with Governor Otter's statement? Yeah. Sorry about that. We're having some computer issues today. It is 6:17. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Without further ado, our reelected Republican governor of the state of Idaho, good job. We voted in 2006 to say that marriage is between one man and one woman. Now, if they want to change the rest of the other 49 states, go ahead. I don't believe that's what the state of Idaho wants, so we're staying there.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
6:23, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, the day after. I guess they're calling it Red Wednesday, Red Tuesday. Whew, a big night for Republicans, a big night for Governor Otter. And how about this? In Oregon, they've decided recreational pot use is okay. Now, the funny thing about that is they haven't figured out how you're going to get it. You can grow it in your backyard. You can consume it in small amounts. But what about selling it? Think of all the tax dollars that our friends just over the border are going to be losing out on because there's no provision to sell it. Where's the pot shots, if you will, or the pot shops, if you will, in Oregon when it comes to legalizing dope? What a dopey decision. And really, it begs the question here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that when you look at what Governor Otter said about traditional marriage, why can't Idaho just say to the federal government, hey, we'll be seeing you. Since you're not enforcing federal law in one place, why in the world should you endorse federal law in another? If you're going to selectively do that when it comes to pot, why can't you do the same for gay marriage? The governor last night winning big, as did most Republicans. The state school superintendent's race could be still in flux. It's 51-49, Ibarra over Jones. And, you know, the big, was there really a difference there? You know, Phil Hardy and I going back and forth, but really, was there a difference between those two candidates? Both believe in Common Core and everything else. You know, it's funny, and Gene from CUNA brought this up, and this will be one of our big crusades that will be going on coming up, and we want to thank Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, for bringing this to my attention. Is the search for textbooks. Textbooks are good. Textbooks are nonpartisan. whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, everybody loves the textbooks. So we will focus in on that. Speaking of the schools, we will be at Bora High School this week. And we're, you know, promoting our schools, securing our future. Thank you, CapEd Credit Union. And we're almost to our final two schools, and we want to thank everybody in Boise for making that happen. So the election is over. Where do we go from here? And I think that the Republicans should be put on notice that if you try and sell us out, if you try and do a deal with the president, if you try and do amnesty, then there's going to be problems. And those bums will be thrown out. You know, Dave Burnett was talking about this article that Glenn Beck referenced from Matt Drudge, and it's America faces the most dangerous 2 years in 150 years. I mean, we have a president now that has nothing to lose. He doesn't fear the Republicans. He doesn't fear anything. Of course, Eric Holder isn't there anymore. We'll see how that happens. And he's lost one of his great political allies, and that would be Harry Reid. So without Reid blocking these tough votes, do the Republicans all of a sudden start passing things? I just hope that we don't go back to the days where we have, well, let's all work together. I think the president should stick to his principles, and if he doesn't believe in bipartisanship, if he doesn't believe in reforming Obamacare, if he doesn't believe in saving America, then he should be exposed. So much so that his friends in the progressive mainstream media will be so disgusted they will have no choice but to expose him as well. And this, you know, last night was historic, just like 2010. And it reminds me, maybe it does you here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It reminds me of what happened in 1992. You remember that when George Herbert Walker Bush went down to defeat and Dan Rather gleefully, playfully, happily, merrily, you can't say gaily in the traditional sense of the word gay, but you know where I'm going with this, was happy. He was happy that it was over, right? It was a great time. That was the end of objective reporting. Did you see anything last night that was the equivalent of the Democrats just, you know, taking it like we took it in 08, like we took it in 2012. Last night was repudiation and possible redemption. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And coming up this morning, we will have Stephen Yates. We will have Governor, Lieutenant Governor Little. We will have Senator Crapo. We will have a bunch of folks here. Senator Risch, Congressman Simpson, all will join us this morning. I would put it on Facebook, but unfortunately we're having computer issues here. And people say, Kevin, don't say that. The listener doesn't care. Look, the digital aspect of what we do here is very important. As you saw last night, and if you didn't, you can check out 580kido.com, our blogs, you know, our Twitter, our Facebook. That is very important to what we do here. And I know there are several people, if we don't have the Facebook feed out, if we don't have the real-time blog out, they're going, hey, Kevin, what the heck? So, again, on me, I apologize for not being able to get you that information so you can keep along at home. We're going to have to do this the traditional way, me talking to you, me taking your calls at 580-5436. Now, another thing, I hope people don't say, I'm burned out. I don't think that anybody should be burned out at all. There are people that have said that they are willing to represent you. Now is the time for them to step up and live up to those promises, to put things and succinctly put things in the proper perspective. I hope that Jim Rich gets a committee chairman. I hope that Senator Crapo gets a committee chairman. I hope that somebody says, Mr. President, what about the student loan problem? Mr. President, are we living in a world where, quite frankly, quite disturbingly, we have people making money, boondoggles on the stock market, and yet kids, regular folks, can't get jobs? Let's do something about that. You know, we talk about infrastructure and building things. You know, what about a Marshall Plan for America? You know, instead of building roads in Afghanistan, let's build them in Idaho. We go to Annie in Boise with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Annie.
Good Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I've had about an hour and a half sleep, so it could go either way with me. I could be a little grumpy later on.
Oh, no grumpy. You can't be grumpy for Mrs. Miller. That is a no.
Well, I could be grumpy here.
Well, we did it, and thank you for just everything you did for us to help pull this out. And all along listening, I just wanted to give one quick perspective. You know, working in mortgage, I would say probably 70% of who I worked with this year were people coming in from out of state. And I will tell you, they want to be here. And the reason why they want to be here is because of the conservative view and values that we have here in Idaho. I don't think we're going to have any issues. I want people to change their perspective, the locals, on people coming in from out of state. They're here because of the conservative ideals and values that we share here in this state.
And let's hope we keep it.
Let's hope we keep it. And I'm very happy, and congratulations on your Marconi, and I love you dearly, and have a lovely day.
Anna, you're a great friend, and you do such great work with our friends at St. Vincent de Paul. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care. Our friend Annie, people are coming here because, and you heard the governor talking about the way America used to be. The way America used to be. The reddest of the red states. And if you hear some things within that, the governor's speech, he was talking about this cowboy party. And that's what we are. And we don't compromise on principles. Do you believe that? 580-5436. It is 632. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
49 degrees in Meridian. Let's go to the chairman of the State Republican Party, Stephen Yates. Mr. Yates, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, a job well done.
Well, I think it was a great night to be a Republican. I just, you look at what happened nationally and the work that was done across the state. We appear to have had a clean sweep across the constitutional officers. We have a few precincts, I think, still counting in the superintendent race, but margin looks like we're going to have Sherry Ybarra win there. And so I'm very, very happy with the work that many, many people did and among our volunteers, and sure went well for our party.
What was the message that was sent last night throughout the state, sir?
Well, I think, number one, I think it was very clear that Republicans came home after what had been an adventuresome year in Idaho politics. It became clear, I think, with events through the fall, with the court's intervention on our constitutional amendment on the definition of marriage had a galvanizing effect. People began to recognize that there were real consequences, and some of the activism that was going on from the left nationally making its way into our state, and it caused a lot of people to think about needing to come home and support our significant majority here and engage, and they did.
That was easier said than done, everybody coming home. What do you think moved the needle in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I think a lot happened just because we had such an energetic primary season. I think there were a lot of people that didn't really care to tune into politics until later in the cycle. And I think that the statewide campaigns got together and went on their regular bus tour that's become a tradition. But I think when the tour hit a number of different parts of the state, people got a fresh look at the team. I think having Secretary of State Denny on the campaign bus, standing shoulder to shoulder with people with whom he'd had some differences over the years, and the team coming together, I think really had a positive impact on the audiences they were able to reach. In the closing weeks of the campaign, I think we had some debates where people got a chance to take a fresh look and maybe a first look at some of our candidates. So I think the debates, the bus tour, the national narrative all had a significant impact on how the election cycle closed.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, chairman of the state GOP, Stephen Yates with us. You got a lot of accolades last night. You're a pretty humble guy, but you were the one in charge of bringing this party back together and a historic night. What role do you believe that you played in it?
Well, I leave that more for others to judge. I do believe that we get assessed based on the results of our work, and you live by a credo of by your works shall you be known. There are a lot of people who like to talk and have opinions, and that's part of life, part of politics for sure. I tried to focus my efforts on rallying what I admire as Idaho's largest body of volunteers, and I think largest, most consequential political structure. And we just have some very good people who believe in fundamental principles that we share. And if I played an important role, it was probably trying to communicate with the vast army of volunteers that we have about what's at stake, the common principles that hold us together, and the belief that this period going forward from here, we've got a fresh commitment from a reelected governor to work with. We've got a slate of candidates and new mandate for the legislature to get at the task of supporting Idaho's 10th Amendment rights, moving the economy forward, and protecting some of those key institutions that make limited government possible, the traditional family, private enterprise, and independent charity.
Do you think the Ninth Circuit ruling gave a boost to the governor?
I do believe that. Of course, I was present for a lot of the governor's campaign work, and he is, I think, one of the most energetic campaigners and politicians in Idaho. And so I would take nothing away from his effort in his campaign. But what a lot of us deal with in politics are circumstances that come up at a timing that we don't control. And I think that the focus on that issue, there was a key debate that came where he gave an unequivocal, very clear defense of our Constitution in Idaho. And where he stood on this issue, I do think that it had a galvanizing effect to his benefit.
When we take a look at nationally, not only are you involved with what's going on here in Idaho, you work with other state chairmen. Your thoughts on what happened last night and its impact on the president?
Well, I just think that the wave of election results was huge. There were a lot of people who had used past models to look at where things would go in the Senate, and I think conservatively, people had looked at 51 or 52 seats maybe going to Republicans, but we had some significant victories. And we're going to have a runoff in Louisiana, but this is going to be with the House results as well, which kind of got undercovered because we went from majority status to majority status. But we will have one of the largest majorities for Republicans in the House of Representatives in many, many decades. And so the opportunity for Republicans to work together to make meaningful policy is now a significant potential out there. But it's really eyes on President Obama today. He's going to address the nation. We recall the last time a big midterm for Republicans came through, he called it a shellacking. I guess we'll get a new word today. But it really comes down to what kind of a leader does he aim to be in a party that is, or in a country that has been divided in some ways, I would argue, by him. Is he going to be the kind of leader that reaches across and compromises and works with a huge Republican majority in a lot of the country? Geographically, the Republican Party has majorities in governorships, big majorities in legislatures, majority in the Senate, and an increased majority in the House. In many ways, the bulk of the country is on our side, and the president needs to reach across.
Final thought for you, because it's been a late night for you and an early morning here at 580 KIDO. How does this play into the presidential race in 2016?
Well, I think that initially you would look at some of the governor's races that were in contention, and you see Scott Walker getting reelected in Wisconsin. I'm sure that that affirms his name being considered a national candidate. I'm sure that right now he's focused on reelection, and he's going to be focused on the beginning of his second term. But I think the pull of national politics will be significant there. We've had, I think, a number of these candidates that we assume candidates out there campaigning heavily. We had, of course, Mitt Romney come to Idaho, and he campaigned in a lot of states. One wonders, did he plow the field for a run for him or for someone else? And we'll be watching with bated breath, I imagine. Rand Paul campaigned relentlessly around the country for a number of candidates, and that will be noted. And I think it probably increases his capital as a national brand in Republican politics. And there'll be another, with several others that will have increased their brand. Of course, on the Democrat side, you've got Hillary Clinton was out there, and Barack Obama was out there somewhat less so, and former President Clinton seemed to be the go-to Democrat in a lot of races. One wonders how these results humble their estimations of where they go in 2016 cycle. But a lot yet to be written on that narrative. We'll have lots to talk about in the years ahead. But you know, I think it was a big night setting a bigger stage in 2016.
Chairman Yates, we always appreciate it, brother. I have to come see you on your home turf one day.
Sounds great, Kevin. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you. Take care, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we have it. State Chairman Stephen Yates with us. 49 degrees in Napa. Kevin Miller in the morning. Time for traffic.
This experiment in big government has lasted long enough.
I can't thank you enough for your support of Republican principles and your support of this Republican team.
Tonight we say to the president, yes, we did build that.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. It is 6:55. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Going back to the election results, and you know, quite frankly, my friends, we had a lot of people on this program who we love in a heterosexually appropriate way, talk a lot of smack, and in the end, we admire their passion, their enthusiasm. Let's face it, the results speak for themselves. Governor Otter wins. Other folks win. The Republican Party wins. Do you believe that you've won? And when you take a look at the Uber election results, one guy that I'm very happy who won has to be Lawrence Denny. Lawrence Denny, who is a hardworking guy, who had his differences with folks in his own party. Remember 2 years ago what happened to State Representative Denny and then the changes that occurred because he was not the leader. And you had the unfortunate attack ads against him. Now, here's the skinny on this. As I said yesterday, as I said to you, advertising on the dumb stations don't work. You know, I was listening to some of those attack ads in the hallway because people were, you know, they you know, what Holly Woodings, whatever. She didn't spend any money here. And I'm going, what a waste. What a waste to sit there and say Lawrence Denny was this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, what does that have to do with you being a positive person? So for people that launched these attack ads and thought it was significant, and by the way, the Miller Doctrine holds true. I'm glad the dumb people didn't vote. Sorry, dummies. The good guys won. Ha-ha. Let's go to Ron Paul Jim with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Morning, Kevin. You said the good guys won, but I'm still kind of wondering, what is the Republican agenda? You know, What are they promising? Because I haven't really seen them make any definitive, declarations of what they will do if given power. Other than they seem to be pro-war, which, you know, Obama seems to be doing exactly what they would do. They're haven't mentioned anything about restoring liberty or, going against the surveillance of the NSA and or get rid of Homeland Security or any of those things that seem to be dear to most people's hearts. They're kind of wondering, you know, what exactly are they going to do that's different? Obamacare, you know, is always talked about, but we never seen, you know, are they going to give us back our privatized health care? What exactly are they promising to do? Because I just don't see any difference between the two parties. Kevin?
And when they work with Obama, what does that mean?
Well, see, this was if you look back historically, when Trent Lott reached across the aisle, or when McCain reached across the aisle, they basically switched sides, even though they were the majority.
Good point, Ron, Paul, Jim. We got to run. Time for traffic at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave. 6:59 coming up next. Senator Crapo. We'll talk to Senator Risch. We'll take your calls. Congressman Simpson.
Serving Meridian.